Not a trick question here. Not trying to fool anybody. Without looking in your Bible, I know a couple of you will know this, at least a couple. Without looking in your Bible, think for a second, tell me the first five words of Psalm 23. No, that's only just the first five, okay? I don't care if you know the first seven, first ten. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean, that God's our shepherd? What do shepherds do? What breaks their heart? What makes them smile? What moves them? In case you don't know me, if you're watching online for the first time or sitting here for the first time, my name is James. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and it is an honor to be able to bring God's word to you this morning. If you have a Bible, turn or tap with me to Luke 15, not Psalm 23, Luke 15, okay? And while you're turning there, I want to tell you a story. 5+ months ago or so in August, it's like the second weekend in August, it was the first weekend that my wife and I were at home without my youngest son. We had taken him to college the week before, so now we're like, the house is quiet, we're empty nesting, all that good stuff, right? And I knew that my wife's heart, our heart, would be hurting a little bit that weekend. So I did something with my wife that I don't know if I'd ever done before. I went thrifting. Some of y'all are like, what? I went thrifting. If you're not familiar with that word, that means you go to a bunch of secondhand stores, not looking for anything in particular, wander around and see what kind of gems you can find. Listen, friends, I don't do that. I don't like to shop, okay, let alone like that. When I shop, I have a specific store I go to with a specific product in mind that I have already thoroughly researched. I walk in the doors of said store, I find the first customer service person I can find and say, can you take me to this thing? And they take me to it, I get it, I go back to the front, I purchase it, and I leave. That's how I shop. To go thrifting, where you wander around looking for nothing in particular of other people's junk, I mean, Hold on. Rewind. And you know what? One man's junk is another man's treasure. I kid you not. Miracle upon miracles happened. At like the second, I think it was the second, because I was still somewhat conscious. The second thrift store we went to, I looked across the store, like above all the shelves and stuff, and I saw this picture. It was hanging so high on the wall that for me to be able to check the price, which is the second thing I always do, right? I would have to go and ask for a ladder. I would not normally do that, but something about this painting moved me, right? And as you can tell, I bought it. I tried to look online and find it cheaper on Amazon. For my friends watching online, didn't catch that. Mike hopes that I bought it, didn't just take it. Right, that's good. I bought it. Yes, I bought it. Tried to find it cheaper online. Couldn't really, and thought I'd support the local people who were trying to sell it, and did. And I replaced the picture in my office that's been hanging there, the big blue picture of an eagle. It's been there for 15 years or so. And for the last 5 months, I have spent time looking at this. I've spent time marinating over it. I've spent time wrestling with the story behind it. I continue to be moved by it. This was the impetus for this new sermon series that we're going to be doing this year called, not this year, but to start the year, called Heart of a Shepherd, as Tim already said. I want to pray, and then hopefully by now you found Luke 15, and then we'll jump in. Okay? Let's pray. How much did I pay for it? I don't remember. That's a good question to pray right before someone asked. Yeah, it was more than I thought it should be at a thrift store. Yeah, but when I looked online, everything was right around $1 of like that. And I honestly haven't found this exact same one anywhere else. No. Can I pray now? Okay. Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, thank you that you leave the 99 to pursue us, like that song we just sang said. I thank you that, oh man, I'm in awe of who you are and your pursuit after us. I pray, Lord, that as we begin this new year, as we begin this new sermon series, that we would understand the heart of a shepherd. And more than just understanding it, we would begin to live that, just like you have. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you haven't figured it out yet, Luke 15 is one of the two places in Scripture that tells the story of that. All right, so we're going to start Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. You can follow along in your Bibles or just listen. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. 5 months I've been sitting here looking at this thing. You know, there's like 6 to 60 sermons in that passage. I'm going to just give you 6 of them this morning. Sound good? Okay. Helen, you don't have to write all these down on notes, okay? I'm going to fly through them. All right. Good. You're welcome. First sermon could be something like the setting. Why Jesus told the parable. You look at the first 3 verses. Jesus is responding to criticism about him hanging out with sinners. And the parable is not mainly about the sheep, but it's about God's character. Audience matters. Religious folk versus the lost folk. Right? The key idea in that sermon would be that God sees people that others overlook. Probably be a good sermon. I'll preach it someday. Second sermon, it could be the shepherd's decision to leave the 99. Verse 4, the shepherd notices that 1 out of 100 is missing. How many is 1 out of 100 percentage-wise? 1%. Yeah, 1%. Leaving the 99 is not reckless. It shows intentional care. The flock is secure, but that sheep is in danger. Key idea from that sermon would be God's love is personal, not only collective. Could be a good sermon. Third one, shepherd's pursuit, seeking until he finds. I'm going to come back to this one because this is the one I want to preach today. But the shepherd searches until he finds the sheep. This shows persistence, patience, initiative. The sheep does not find his way back. The shepherd goes and gets it. Salvation begins with God's initiative, God's pursuit, not human effort. All right, we made it through 3 sermons already. 3 more, and then the real one, okay? Shepherd's compassion, carrying the sheep, verse 5. The sheep's carried, not scolded. This reflects grace rather than shame. Restoration is gentle and joyful. The key idea is that when people repent, God shows mercy, not condemnation. The shepherd didn't slaughter the sheep because it wandered off. Picked it up on his shoulders, carried it back, right? 5th potential sermon, the shepherd's joy. Heaven rejoices, the last 2 verses in that passage. Joy is shared, it overflows in the community. Heaven celebrates over one sinner who repents. What excites heaven should deeply excite us. Amen. Okay, thank you. Number 6 could be just a straight up application sermon, all right? Living with the shepherd's heart. Who are the ones that are around us who feel lost or unseen? Do we value people the way God does? Are we willing to pursue, to welcome, to restore others with grace? This passage has so many different sermons that could be in there. Today, I want us to focus on a shepherd pursuing. So a shepherd pursues. I think I have a slide that says something like that. Let's see. Does it pop up? Maybe I didn't put it. Oh, there it is. Look at that. It popped back up. A shepherd pursues. Say that with me. A shepherd pursues. A shepherd pursues. I actually see this looking at the entire chapter of Luke 15, not just the first 7 verses. This, if you're not familiar, the story has 3 stories. This chapter has 3 stories, each dealing with somebody pursuing. somebody searching, somebody looking for. We typically call them the things that are lost, but the focus really is on the thing that is pursuing, the thing that's looking. So we've got the lost sheep, we've got the lost coin, and we've got the lost son. And this is a powerful chapter that gives us more than just a glimpse into the heart of a shepherd. The heart of a shepherd is that a shepherd pursues. Now, we're going to have a little bit of interaction this morning, okay? Can you think of a time when you were pursued? I'm not talking about like when somebody creepy was chasing you. Not that type of pursuit. So don't go there, okay? But where you were wanted. You think of any times? Does that question make sense? Yeah? Anybody ever been pursued?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Can you think of a time? Can you legit, like, can you, oh, share, who said, I need to change the word, thank you. Can you share a time that you were pursued, or just a potential reason you would be pursued? Oh, wow, now everybody talks. I see the difference in the word. Thank you, Sherry. Yeah. Raise your hand. Okay, Susan.
Mm-hmm. To run it.
Yeah.
So they were very, very insistent. not even knowing me, but they knew that I came from the Free Methodist Church in Boise, and they were pursuing the fact that they were sure that I needed to come there and run their program.
They pursued you. And she did. Very good. Very good. I'm going to stick in the back row. Trish, I think you raised your hand. No, you didn't? Okay. Somebody else. When did you? Whoa. Everybody talking at once again. Christy. That's so good. When your kids pursue you. Yes. Yes, mommy. Yeah.
My husband pursued
me. Ooh. Ooh. Come on now, give me a high five for that one. How many years has it been? 64 years he pursues you. Man, that's good. That's good. Does he still pursue you? Just All right, bro, I'm going to give you, like, we're going to talk more about how you continue to pursue, okay? 64 years, let's keep pursuing. Anybody else? Kendra, yep, and then we'll go one final over here.
Okay, so I've worked with children for far too long. You said pursued, and the first thing I thought of was all the children playing tag.
Playing tag, yeah, playing a game. Someone's chasing you. Very good. Very good. Pat.
I was pursued by a youth pastor that wanted me to sing in a group that was putting together a CD.
Okay. Saw a talent. So you are a recording artist. How many, everybody know this? You're a recording artist? That's amazing. Do you still have the CD?
Yeah.
All right. We might pursue that CD. The only other time that like I could think of pursuit, we got some people who are getting close to graduating. Maybe a college pursues you. Right? For your academic excellence or your athletic prowess, any of those things. When you are being pursued like that, not necessarily like, mommy, okay, but like when your husband pursues you, when a job pursues you, when a college pursues you, how does that feel? Just shout out single words of how that feels. Wanted, okay? Stressful. Interesting. Okay, wasn't expecting that, but
good.
Holy smokes, this is not going the direction I thought it was going to go. Worthy. Thank you. Wanted. Okay? What'd you say?
Fascinating.
Fascinating? Oh. Valued. Okay? What was the other one?
Loved.
Seen. That is a good one. Yeah.
Singled out.
Think of all these ones that have been positive, not necessarily like nervous or those, okay? And realize that's how God feels about us. God pursues us because we are valued, we are loved, we are worthy, we are desirable. Maybe sometimes we make him nervous, but he still pursues. And I don't know if we let that reality sink in near as much as we need to. We are pursued because we are worth pursuing. It's days you wake up and think, why would God ever want me? Leaves the 99. If that's all you need to hear today, if the Holy Spirit wanted to whisper in your ear that God pursues you, fantastic, right? You don't have to listen anymore. I give you permission to check your phone, check the score, although the Seahawks played last night, and if you don't know the score, you're not a true fan, okay? Pray, take a nap, any of those things. If what you needed to hear this morning was that God pursues you, fantastic. A shepherd pursues, okay? I've had 5 months of looking at this, and it's caused me to ponder. It's caused me to wrestle. It's caused me to think. Caused me to pray a bit. And if you don't mind, I want to just share a little bit of those wrestlings, a little bit of those ponderings. And we're always going to come back to God pursues. A shepherd pursues, okay? So if that is the main point. If you hear nothing else this morning, that's the main point. Sitting here looking at this picture, thinking about the story that it was in, the context at which it was in, made me unsettled a little bit. See, I used to, one of my previous jobs, part of that job was to be a 4-H leader. So I raised sheep. I have pictures of it. We'll see them at some point over this sermon series. I was a shepherd. I've been a shepherd for a long time now, right? And in high school, even more important than being a 4-H leader, I dated a sheep farmer's daughter. So I really know about sheep. Like, I know about sheep. And I know that they don't like to be alone. Did you know that? You probably did, because at some point over your decades of church, someone has preached on this sermon before. You probably heard it, and you're thinking, when's he going to get to the end, right? Sheep don't like being alone. It was one of the first things the guy who hired me told me was never just leave one sheep in a pen by itself. You always got to have at least one others, if not more. Sheep don't function well alone because they're a highly social flock animal. Right? They require the presence of others to feel safe and to avoid extreme stress. Isolation for a sheep can cause severe anxiety, panic, dangerous and poor physical health, including reduced appetite and depression. Huh. Knowing that, why would the sheep wander off? Don't shout it out loud. The sheep does not want to be alone. A sheep does not wake up in the morning and think, I'm an Enneagram 5. I'm an introvert. I need some space today. Why would the sheep wander off? That's what I'm going to ponder a little bit this morning. Just throw some things out there, but I'm always going to come back to God pursues. Okay? All right, the traditional and most often preached reason why the sheep wandered off is because the sheep was a sinner. Well, that's how it's traditionally preached. I mean, maybe not the sheep itself, but the sheep represents humanity, right? God's making that connection. If you didn't know that that's the connection Jesus is making, then maybe that's the point you need to take home today, okay? Jesus was telling a story about a sheep who wandered off, and the traditional way of preaching it is that represents a human who sins and wanders off. That this person has chosen to walk away from God, chosen not to pay attention to his ways, his rules, his laws, his regulations. They've chosen different lifestyles that don't lead up with Scripture, and because of that, they're no longer part of the flock. Thank you for nobody saying amen, even though some may have thought that. Some people think, well, the sheep wandered off because it's that sheep's fault. You can't choose these choices and still be part of the flock. I wonder, though, if there are other ways to understand the sheep wandering off. If that's not the only reason. I'm not saying that's not an adequate reason. I think there are times that we as people represented by sheep will choose to sin and wander away from the flock. I do think that. All right. What got me thinking about this and why the sheep would wander off by itself, besides knowing that sheep don't like being by themselves, was a verse in Psalm 119. The Advent time, which just came out of, three of the four Sundays, we talked about verses in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Does anybody know the last verse, verse 176 of Psalm 119? I didn't either, okay? But I happened across it, and the very last verse says this: I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Come and find me, for I have not forgotten your commands. Jesus would have known that psalm. There's a good chance he would have memorized that, not because he was God and could remember everything, but because he would have gone to Sabbath school and memorized all the things that all the little boys and girls memorized, right? So he would have known that psalm, and I wonder if he was thinking about that verse when he told this story. I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Come and find me, for I have not forgotten your commands. Does this sound like somebody choosing to walk away from God? Choosing to ignore God's ways? Choosing to stray from his path? Come and find me. I haven't forgotten your commands. I haven't forgotten you, but somehow when I looked up, I was by myself. I need you to come and find me. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them is lost, or the other place the story is told says, if one of them wanders away, what will the shepherd do? That's the question posed in Luke 15, but also the question that's posed in Matthew 18, where the other time that this story is told. Now, Matthew 18, if we're not talking about this, when I say we're going to talk about Matthew 18, what's the first passage somebody thinks of? What's that? The Sermon on the Mount. I'm glad you think of that in Matthew 18. It means you remembered Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Good job. No? Nobody? Church discipline. Right? Matthew 18 is the passage where it's got the, hey, if somebody sins against you, this is how you fix them. This is how you restore them. This is how you correct them. In the middle of that, though, we get Matthew 18, verse 12 to 14. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out and search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. It would be easy for us to read that passage and think, well, the main thing is the main thing. It's the main thing. In Luke 15, the main thing is God pursues. A shepherd pursues. So, of course, the main thing in here is that a shepherd pursues. Amen? Amen. Well, what's the main thing in Matthew 18, 12 to 14? A shepherd pursues. Not a trick question, okay? Yes, but if we look at it in context, we may catch a glimpse of why the one wandered away. Stay with me here, okay? I now have a timer up on that screen. It says I've been talking for 23 minutes. Is that like subtle? That's good. Oh, okay, Matthew 18 very easily could be 9 to 90 sermons. I'm not going to give you 9 of them. But this, I think, I've read this chapter multiple times, and I think that this chapter gives us some reasons why the one wanders away. The first is the one that we typically preach and teach on, that this lamb, this person sinned against somebody and has wandered off. It's their choice. Right? We see this then in how to correct another believer. It says in Matthew 18, 15, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. You know that story in Matthew 18, right? Jesus goes on to say, if that doesn't work when you go one-on-one, grab a couple buddies and go with you and try again. And if that doesn't work, then take the person before the entire church and restore, correct, chastise, however we want, whatever word we want to use, right? And if that doesn't work, be done with them. Jesus even says, treat them like the pagans or a tax collector. The author of this gospel was a tax collector. So you got to wonder if he winced a little bit when he wrote that down. Matthew 18. Don't raise your hands, don't shout out, okay? This is an inside your body question. Has anybody ever used Matthew 18 against you in that way? Where you have sinned, I'm gonna come and talk to you, I'm gonna bring a couple buddies, I'm gonna bring you before the church, and then I'm gonna be done with you. Have you ever done that to anybody? Don't raise your hand. That passage makes me wonder, does the sheep wander off because they got kicked out? Because they got bullied out? It's interesting. Because immediately before the, here's how you correct, Jesus tells a story of a father willing to pursue, of a shepherd willing to pursue. Jesus says in Matthew 18, 14, in the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. That's actually what's hit me the hardest in the last 5 months, that this is immediately next to the way we discipline. How about another reason that sheep may leave the church, not church, the flock, excuse me. Freudian slip. Another reason would be potentially that someone caused them to. Someone caused them to. Okay? I look at that because I look at the in context, which is what we want to do. Because by the way, when Jesus told this story in Matthew 18, right, in Luke, he was telling it to a group of sinners and religious people. In Matthew 18, he's talking to his disciples. It's a different context. His disciples had just come to him beginning of Matthew 18 and said, hey, Lord, who's the greatest? Right? And then he tells these stories. And the first thing he mentions is, hey, he pulls this little kid in the circle and says, you need to be like this kid. Right? And in verse 6, it says, if you cause any of these little ones who trusts in me, who come by, here we go, glasses, no glasses. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Any question how Jesus feels about that? Same context as this story. If you cause any of these little ones to stumble, to wander, to sin, if a shepherd has 900 sheep and one wanders off, these are right next to each other. So could it be possible that the sheep wanders off because of somebody in the sheepfold? That stings a little. This happens, though. It happens. Sometimes people in the church live like, talk like, teach like, maybe that wouldn't be worth following. And perhaps somebody new in the faith, perhaps somebody old in the faith, but sees somebody else like, oh, they're a super Christian. They act like that. I can act like that. I can talk like that. I can treat others like that. And they start doing that, and all of a sudden they look up and they're by themselves. You know what happens when that happens? God pursues. God pursues. A shepherd pursues. How about one more reason? Okay? One more reason that this one would be caused to leave the 99 that would cause the shepherd to pursue it. Matthew 18, so we got the child in the middle. We got don't cause them to stumble. We got the parable of a lost sheep. We got how to correct or restore another believer. And then Jesus finishes this chapter by talking about an unforgiving debtor. Verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7, Jesus says. 70 times 7. And then Jesus goes on to tell the story of a debtor who forgave something, a mass amount, and then that person who was forgiven did not go and forgive. All right, could it be that the lamb has wandered off because perhaps the lamb did something wrong to somebody and that somebody never forgave them and they no longer feel welcome? Could it be that the lamb, I'm not saying the lamb is perfect, there's one perfect lamb, it's Christ, okay? Could it be that the lamb had something wrong, done wrong to it and has chosen not to forgive? I wonder if there's more reasons than we typically think of that the one had wandered off. Here's the deal, though. I don't think it matters how many reasons. The main point is still the main point. God pursues. God pursues. Okay? I know in each of our minds we can picture somebody that we think, man, that person's wandering. But I'm not them. Whoo, they're backsliding. God pursues them. Period. Right? Period. Not he pursues them once, well, they get all the dirt and dust out of their wool and they look a little bit better. No. Not until, well, I'm going to wait till they get a little bit closer back to the flock and then I'm going to go get them. No. They're as lost as can be. And the shepherd goes and looks and looks and looks and looks until he finds. It is so easy for us to think, to put ourselves in this story and think, yeah, we're one of the 99 that stayed back. I'm not always one of the 99 that stayed back. Jesus has had to pursue me. And my guess, this truth, is he's had to pursue you. So at some point, are we going to join the heart of Jesus, the heart of a shepherd, and start pursuing the people that Jesus would pursue? What do we do with this, right? A shepherd pursues. I hope that 16 weeks from now, when I ask what was the point of the first sermon, you say a shepherd pursues. Now, what's your take-home point? Well, I don't know, because that might be between you and the Holy Spirit. All right. For me, as I've wrestled with this text, I've been reminded not to be too quick to judge that one who wanders away. Because I don't know why they wandered away. They may have wandered away because of me. In context, Matthew 18, it could be. So instead of judging, I want to look around to see who the one is. And I want to join Jesus, this heart of a shepherd, and pursue. That's what I want to do. Will you join me? That might be what God wants you to do. Might be he wants you to hear something else. I do tell you one thing, though. If that lost person's in a thrift shop, I don't know if I want to go back in. So maybe one of you guys go get them. Let me pray. I'm in awe, Heavenly Father, of your pursuit. I'm in awe that your Son would say that my Father in heaven does not want even one of these little ones to perish. I'm reminded of the times that I have been the one that has wandered. Whether it's been short times, long times, seasons. And I thank you that every single time you came and pursued me. Lord, help us have that same heart where we go and pursue. Help us see the one and not just think to ourselves, oh, I'm glad I'm not that one. Help us take up your heart. Give us a shepherd's heart to pursue. I ask this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, one of the things we did over Advent was we had times of intentional prayer.